All right, so are you ready? Ready to dive into this world of second chances, maybe some steamy encounters?
Oh, always.
Well, that's what we're doing today. Taking a deep dive into Nicola Marsh's Forget.
Ooh.
It's a second chance romance novel, and I gotta say, I'm hooked. I'm already hooked.
Second chance romances, always so compelling.
I know.
There's just something about that idea of rekindled love and the what if. It just makes them so addictive. And Forget definitely plays with that beautifully.
It really does. So let's set the stage for our listeners.
Yeah.
We've got Jada and Brock, former classmates who shared a memorable one-night stand like 6 years ago.
Okay.
Fast forward to the present.
Yeah.
And she needs his help, his tech expertise for her new business. So they
Yeah.
strike up this no-strings-attached arrangement, but you can already feel the tension, right?
Absolutely. Marsh throws them together in a hotel bar for their first meeting, and the air practically crackles
Right.
with unresolved tension.
Yeah.
Brock is trying so hard to play it cool, but you can tell he's still captivated, completely captivated by Jada.
It's like he's fighting with himself, isn't it? Attracted to her, but terrified of history repeating itself.
Right.
And Marsh uses this tiny detail. Jada keeps biting her lip. Just this nervous habit that Brock remembers from their university days.
Oh, wow.
It's just this subtle way to show how much this reunion is getting to her.
Oh, that's brilliant. It instantly draws you back to their shared past. You know, it highlights that intimacy they once shared.
Right.
And then there's the perfume. Brock describes Jada's scent, this jasmine and rose, a custom blend,
Oh, nice.
and how it lingered in his memory all these years.
Wow.
It's clear that their one night together left a lasting impression.
Oh, it definitely did.
Yeah.
That's what I love about Marsh's writing, those little sensory details that just draw you in.
Yes.
And then there's this like hilarious moment where Jada orders a diet soda, no alcohol for our leading lady, and Brock is not happy about it. It's
Yeah.
such a small thing.
Really?
But it reveals so much about their personalities and their dynamic.
Exactly. We see this push and pull between them right from the start. You know, like they're drawn to each other, but they're also trying to resist the inevitable.
Yeah.
Now, before we get too deep into their current dynamic, I think it's worth exploring their backstories a bit.
Okay.
Brock was a scholarship student driven to succeed, while Jada comes from a very privileged background.
That contrast in their backgrounds is so interesting.
Right.
It sets up this potential for misunderstanding and conflict, but also this underlying connection. And then there's this layer of sadness that Jada carries with her, stemming from her sister's death and her strained relationship with her parents.
It's clear that her sister's death is a defining moment for her,
Yeah.
and it shapes her desire to start her own charity. Marsh doesn't reveal the cause of death right away, which adds this element of mystery and makes you want to learn more about Jada's motivations.
It does. And then the sparks really start to fly when they end up at a jazz club. Brock, it turns out, is a secret jazz aficionado. Something Jada remembers from their university days. The music, the low lighting, and suddenly that attraction between them reignites. And there's this charged moment where Jada touches Brock's arm. And let me tell you, Marsh doesn't skimp on the descriptions of his physique.
Oh my. That scene is all about building anticipation.
Yeah.
You know, Marsh uses sensory details so effectively, you can practically feel the heat between them.
I
You're
know.
not just reading about their attraction, you're experiencing it alongside them. And then they start talking about their past, about how they both tried to forget that night.
There's this weight of unspoken emotions, the
Yes.
baggage they're both carrying.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're dancing around the real issues, and you just know those issues are going to explode at some point.
Oh, absolutely.
And then we get a glimpse into Brock's world, his luxurious penthouse. It's such a stark contrast to Jada's insecurities about her body image, which,
Yeah.
we learn about later.
That contrast is so symbolic, don't you think? It's not just about physical spaces, it's about their emotional landscapes.
Right.
Brock's success and outward confidence versus Jada's internal struggles, it creates this tension that just pulls you in.
It makes you wonder if they can bridge that gap,
Right.
if they can find common ground despite their differences. Now, I don't want to give too much away, but there's a scene at the university quadrangle that really shifts their dynamic. It's a place Brock avoided during his time there,
Oh.
but with Jada, he revisits it. And there's this sense that he's starting to see things differently. What do you make of that?
Well, I think
I think
I'm
it's interesting, right? Like
yeah.
he's letting go a little bit
Yeah.
of the past.
I think that scene is so pivotal. For Brock's character development, you know, the quadrangle represents his past insecurities, his feelings of being an outsider, and returning to that place with Jada, allowing himself to be vulnerable with her, it signifies a shift in his perspective. It's like he's finally letting go of those old wounds.
It's like being with Jada gives him permission to be his true self, right? And speaking of being true to oneself, we learn that Jada's charity is tied to her sister's death. Sasha, it turns out, died in a tragic landslide while volunteering in Guatemala.
That revelation adds so much depth to Jada's character.
It does.
You know, we see her not just as the successful businesswoman, but as someone who's deeply affected by loss and driven to make a difference in the world.
And it's this vulnerability that really starts to break down the walls between them. They have this incredibly raw, honest conversation at a breakfast spot. And get this, it's the University Quadrangle again. The place that held so much baggage for Brock becomes this space of shared vulnerability and connection.
Marsh is so clever with her use of symbolism.
I know.
The quadrangle transforms from a symbol of Brock's past pain to a place of healing and connection. It's subtle, but it speaks volumes about their evolving relationship.
And then Brock drops this bombshell. He confesses that he actually fantasized about Jada during their university years. I mean, talk about unexpected. It completely throws Jada for a loop.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
That confession really flips the script, doesn't it?
Totally.
It hints at the simmering attraction that existed between them even back then, something neither of them acknowledged at the time. You know? It also reveals a depth of feeling from Brock that he's clearly trying to downplay. Like he's afraid of letting his guard down completely.
Yeah, he doesn't want to go there.
No.
And then Jada, in a moment of vulnerability, opens up about her past struggles with body image. She reveals how she used to count calories obsessively, how she never felt good enough.
This exchange is so powerful. You know, it speaks to the theme of self-acceptance that runs throughout the book. Jada's willingness to be vulnerable with Brock and his genuine acceptance of her allows her to start embracing her true self.
And then there's this line from Brock that just melted my heart. He tells Jada, "You've always been beautiful to me." Coming from Brock, with his guarded personality, it carries so much weight.
That's the beauty of well-crafted dialogue. It's not just about the words themselves, it's about the subtext. It's the unspoken emotions that simmer beneath the surface. Makes you want to lean in and savor every moment.
And so we have this undeniable attraction, this growing intimacy, but there's this underlying question. Can they truly move beyond their past and build a future together? There are all these obstacles in their way, both internal and external.
And that's where the second chance romance trope gets really interesting. It's not just about rekindling a flame, it's about navigating the complexities of life, those external forces and internal demons that threaten to derail even the strongest connections.
Speaking of external forces, remember that sleazy guy from the hotel bar who was hitting on Jada? Well, he makes a comeback,
Oh no.
and it throws a major wrench into the works.
Oh, that guy. Talk about a blast from the past.
I know.
You know, it's almost like he represents the ghosts of their past relationships, those patterns they need to break free from if they want to have a real shot at happiness.
And it's not just him. Brock's parents make an appearance. And let me tell you, the family dynamics are a whole other layer of complexity. Brock has some serious baggage when it comes to his folks, and it all comes bubbling to the surface.
What's fascinating about this is how it mirrors the central themes of the book. You know, just as Jada and Brock are wrestling with their pasts, Brock's relationship with his parents is shaped by years of unspoken emotions and unresolved conflicts. It raises this question: can he truly find happiness with Jada if he hasn't reconciled with his own past?
It's like those old patterns are repeating themselves, aren't they? And then comes this major revelation about Brock's father that completely changes everything.
What?
Remember how Brock painted his dad as this emotionally distant, uncaring guy? Well, it turns out there's a lot more to the story.
Oh, yeah, it's almost as if Brock created this narrative about his father to justify his own emotional detachment, like a defense mechanism, you know, a way to protect himself from being vulnerable.
And one of his dad's buddies spills the beans.
Oh, really?
He tells Brock that his dad has actually softened over the years, become more supportive of his mother.
Oh, wow.
And is incredibly proud of Brock's success, even brags about him.
Oh, how sweet.
I know.
That's so nice.
To his friends.
Aw.
So, yeah.
This revelation throws Brock for a loop.
Totally.
It challenges this image he's held onto for so long.
Uh-huh.
It makes you think, are we all just prisoners of our own perception?
That's deep. Especially when it comes to family.
Especially when it comes to family.
And suddenly, Brock's emotional distance doesn't seem like a choice, but more like a learned behavior.
Right.
A way of coping with a childhood that wasn't what he made it out to be.
Right.
It adds a whole new layer to his relationship with Jada, too.
Mm-hmm.
If he's been projecting his own issues onto his father, is he doing the same with Jada?
Right.
Is his fear of commitment genuine, or is it rooted in this fear of becoming like his dad?
Ooh, good question.
This is where it gets really interesting.
Yeah, okay.
Brock has this epiphany after storming out of the award ceremony.
Mm.
He realizes that he's been pushing Jada away because he's terrified of hurting her, of becoming the emotionally unavailable man he believes his father was.
It's such a raw human moment.
It is.
He's finally acknowledging his fears, confronting the patterns that have been holding him back.
Mm.
And this sets the stage for a potential transformation.
But it's not all smooth sailing from there.
Oh, no.
He has this huge blow up with Jada.
Really?
Saying some really hurtful things, accusing her of being with him for the wrong reasons.
Oh, it's heartbreaking, but also so real.
It's that classic self-sabotage, isn't it?
It is.
When fear takes over and we push away the very thing we want most.
Exactly.
But thankfully, Brock realizes he's messed up big time.
Yeah.
He does.
And he decides to apologize to Jada. But first, he needs to sort things out with his parents.
Right.
He goes to the hospital and has this incredibly vulnerable conversation with them, laying it all out on the table.
It's a powerful reminder that it's never too late.
No.
For those difficult conversations for forgiveness and understanding.
Yeah.
Family dynamics can be so messy.
Mm.
But there's always hope for healing.
And then, just when Brock's about to go to Jada, he overhears her having this tender moment with her father.
Oh, wow.
It dawns on him he's not the only one with daddy issues.
Right.
It's like this parallel journey they're both on.
That's what makes their connection so profound.
Right.
They're both carrying these wounds from the past.
Yeah.
And they have the potential to help each other heal.
Yeah.
And when he finally talks to Jada, he admits he was wrong, that he was projecting his own fears onto her.
Mm-hmm.
He tells her that she means more to him than just a fling and that he's ready for something real.
It's a beautiful moment of vulnerability and honesty.
It is.
You know, Brock finally lets go of his defenses, and Jada, in turn, shares her own insecurities.
Uh-huh.
It's the foundation for a truly authentic relationship.
And guess what? They get their happy ending. They realize they're both works in progress. But together, they can face their pasts and build a future filled with love, laughter, and hopefully some more of those steamy encounters.
Forget. Ultimately offers a powerful message about second chances and the transformative power of love.
It does.
It's about recognizing our patterns, confronting our fears, and allowing ourselves to be vulnerable.
It's a beautiful story that leaves you feeling hopeful and maybe a little bit warm and fuzzy inside.
I agree.
For our listeners, we won't spoil the ending, but we highly recommend picking up Forget and taking the plunge into this world of second chances and sizzling chemistry. Trust us, you won't regret it. Until next time, happy reading.